Welcome to The Exclusive. I'm your host, Sharon Tharp, and today we're adding another unforgettable house guest to the memory wall. One of my favorites, competed on what fans still consider one of the greatest seasons in Big Brother history. It's personally my favorite season, although I don't like to play favorites. So please welcome the Portuguese princess herself, Big Brother 10's Michelle Costa. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to chat with you. Like I said, Big Brother 10 is an iconic season for me. It's my favorite season. And yeah, we've been meaning to do this for a while, so I'm glad we finally got to do this.
Not to be biased, but it is my favorite season too. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, duh. And we're going to talk about it today. But yeah, we were just saying it's been 18 years, which is insane. How does that sound when you hear that?
You know, it's funny because somebody asked me yesterday, and when I was like typing it out, and I'm like, 18 years? Like, that's wild. And the fact that it's still so memorable, just like it was yesterday, is even wilder. I mean, I remember everything pretty much like it's happening in real time, you know, especially when you get a new season that starts, you start kind of going back through the memories and seeing that it's like a time travel type of season that makes you really go back and think and just wanting to rewrite some of the past mistakes and never given the opportunity. So, hey, you never know. There's still
time. Yeah, there's still time. We're going to talk about it. And honestly, Michelle, like, you played so hard. You should have no regrets about how you played because you went in there and you're like, which I can't wait to talk about. But I guess first, talk to me about where you were at in your life when you went on Big Brother. And like, did you apply? Were you recruited? I don't remember or if I know this story.
So I had applied actually for season 8.
Okay.
So at that time, I was in a different place. I was engaged and living with my fiance, and I was a realtor. And so at that time, that was my life. And I had applied for it. So Rhode Island, being the smallest state, but don't doubt the smallest state, we have amazing people, didn't have casting calls. So there was no like casting call I could go to. I think maybe the closest one was Boston at the time, but it was just not feasible for me to be able to make it down there. Seeing that, number one, Boston is just insane to try to get to someplace within a 3-hour time frame. And, you know, traffic is just insane. So it's just never in the cards for me to be able to actually go to a casting call. So I sent in a 2-minute video on 8mm tape.
Oh my God.
Yes.
I mean, I was just talking to someone else about VHS. Like, it's just wild how different it is now, but yeah.
Yeah. Like now you just have your phone or, you know, it's wild. Like I had to go to the local pharmacy. I had to buy a disposable video camera, which at that time it did exist, a disposable video camera. I don't even know if that's something that
I don't remember those. Okay.
Yeah, it was wild. So I taped a 2-minute video and I made it to I wouldn't say the semi, I would say like the next step is going to see the one of the casting recruits in Boston. I'm not going to say his name or anything because I don't know where he's at right now, but I still communicate with him and all that. But and spoke with him and thought it went really good. And then he informed me that I wasn't what they were looking for at that time with what theme that they had going on. And that was heartbreaking to me because I had been watching Big Brother since the first episode, season 1, in the year 2000. And so I was really upset. Fast forward to 2 years later, and I get a call that, you know, that if I'm interested in, you know, applying again, it would be a great idea. And at that time, my life had completely changed from the 2 years that I had sent in the video. I was no longer engaged. I was still doing real estate, but I was single at that time. And so there was really nothing else that was a change besides that. And so, you know, I was called a couple times to get my video in because I kind of, not that I wasn't trusting in myself, I didn't want to get my heart broken again.
Of course, yeah.
You that know,
yeah.
So I was like, so you're serious? You want me to do another video? So there I go to the store to buy another disposable camera. Like, I should have kept the old one, but anyway, in hindsight, but so I did my 2-minute video and next thing you know, I'm making it to the quarterfinals and the semifinals. And then next thing you know, I'm initials and yeah. I'm sitting at the pool, like 1 to 2 o'clock, I'm allowed at the pool and going through that whole very difficult process. Keeping it away from your friends and family as well. I didn't tell anybody about it. But for me to be traveling by myself and doing stuff like that wasn't a shock to anybody. So it wasn't like they were like, what are you doing?
Right.
Until I was kidnapped. So I actually didn't even know that I made it on the show until they came to kidnap me.
That's what people say. Even like they say, you're never fully sure until you get that key. And even then, some people obviously are alternates, but like, cause you know, casting has dropped people last minute before. It's not crazy. So I totally understand why people get a little nervous, right, about not making it until you're in that freaking door. But what do you remember from being in LA during the casting? Like, do you remember seeing any of your castmates like at the pool or in the hotel?
So I actually recall seeing a few of them. Yes. So I remember seeing some people like at the pool and in the gym. We're not allowed to talk to each other. We're not allowed to communicate, but we have eyes. We can, you know, stare each other down and give each other some sort of smile within the eyes.
Yeah.
But you didn't know who was there just to be there, like on a vacation. You didn't know who was there to be on a different type of vacation.
Yep.
I actually had like an incident happen during one of these situations. So there was a time where we were allowed to go to eat downstairs. Mm-hmm. It was a restaurant in, you know, in kind of like the middle of like the lobby almost. People coming and going. I remember clearly there was the championship basketball game. And I remember it was like LA versus Boston. So I was like, yeah, this is awesome. Right. So I had like my handler with me. I call him my adult babysitter. I was, you know, being babysat, I guess you could say.
Literally. Yeah.
Literally. And so I sat at the bar and they did not sit with me. They were kind of like somewhere that they could see me. And this guy sat down next to me and he was like, hey. And I was like, don't talk to me.
I can't talk to you.
Don't talk to me. So like, I just kind of didn't even look at him. And he's like, hey, hey. And like, I'm looking at my handler from across the room, like,
help me.
Like, help. Like, I thought it was a setup. Like, they were trying to, like, get me, you know?
Yeah.
So I stayed quiet. And he was like, oh, I know you're beautiful, but you don't have to be, like, you know, a snob or whatever. He's like, you can say hi. Like, who do you think you are? Like, Jennifer Lopez? And I'm like, what the hell? Like, he won't stop. So I'm looking at the bartender. The bartender's looking at me. I'm looking at my handler. So finally she comes over and she's like, excuse me, sir, you can't talk to her. And he's like, oh my God, you are like a Jennifer Lopez. So that made him more intrigued. And now he's really trying to talk to me. And I was just like, holy shit, that's it. It's a setup. I'm going home. And finally they had to like take the guy out. Like they had to like remove him. Like, I think, I don't know, from the restaurant, from the hotel, from the building. I don't know. And I was
I wonder what he thought when he later saw you on TV.
He's like, there's Jennifer Lopez. And I was just like, Jennifer Lopez. And that was actually two people that had said that to me. Like, what do you think, you're Jennifer Lopez? But this was a different story. But yeah, and then there was like a time that we were like allowed to like leave the hotel. So we were like in shuttle buses. And so we were in a group there was a couple of different shuttle buses and we were in a group and we were just in the shuttle bus together, like a mini one, but yet we couldn't talk to each other. So we would try to like, hey, like, what are you doing? Like, hi, how you doing? And there's more to the story than that. Like, we stopped somewhere, but I'm not going to get into details because I don't want anybody to get in trouble. But
okay,
I was like, can we use the restroom at a package store? So we're like using the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we got some goodies for our rooms. And there was just like, hi, but nothing like no names or anything like that. So, but it was like really like hardcore. Like I was like really like 100% in it. I'm like, this is like my dream and I don't want anything to get exactly in the way of it. So I was sticking to the guns because I know like there was some kind of speculation about somebody this season that, you know, kind of, I guess that's why they weren't put into the show because of stuff like that. So,
yeah, I don't know what the deal is, but this does happen sometimes. Obviously, I feel like they've gotten stricter and stricter every year.
I think it starts like your like paranoia, you know, you get paranoid before you even get in the house. But yeah. I think it's a little bit more lenient with people that have already been in the house and they go back in there, you know, from what I hear.
That's true.
Not that much silence that happens between amongst the groups. I mean, it's just things I've heard, but
they also seem to get like, you know, they'll bend the rules a little bit more with like packing and how much you can bring. Like if you're a returning player, maybe you get a little more leeway, not always, but that's what I also heard. So,
yeah, I could see that. Like, especially like if, you know, for instance, like Rachel came back last year and it was like the theme of the house, you know, was kind of like, you know, murder mystery. So she had to have extravagant outfits and hats and accessories and,
yep,
you know, so you need a couple extra bags just for that. I'm sorry, but we one need just bag, a bag of shoes.
One bag for women, I'm sorry, is insane.
No.
I don't know. That's crazy to me. So when you actually get in the house, like, what do you remember from that, from meeting everyone? Who were you vibing with? Who were you not vibing with?
Well, it's funny because, like, I remember, first off, do not enter the house first. That was my first.
Okay.
Thought, do not do it. And then when I got in there, I was like, well, because my season was different, too. So we did the HOH outside. Oh, before we actually entered the house. So we actually had to pick HOH before we even spoke to each other. So it was literally was Jerry and Rennie. I think that was like kind of the easiest mentality for everybody. Like either you're going to go for the 75-year-old guy that we're looking at that has a Marine hat, or Rennie, who just looks sweet and like cute and like mom figure. And so I believe there was just one or two. I think I was nominated with one vote and there was somebody else. But mainly it was Jerry and Rennie.
Yeah.
And my first thought was he was all like in his gear and stuff like that. And I was like, uh-oh. I was
like, maybe we don't want to give him power.
Yeah. I was like, Rennie looks fun. And we just had like those eyes. Like I just knew that she was going to kind of be like a mom figure. So that's where my vote went. So that being said, we kind of already were playing the game before we even walked in the house.
So true. So you know? True. Yep.
We walked in the house and it was already an HOH. So you kind of have to be cool with everybody.
Yeah, right? You're right. There's no real like getting to know each other and then sort of who can you trust? It's like, okay, Jerry's HOH. Like now I guess I got to suck up to that guy. Like it's just, there's no, it was very quick. I agree. How quickly did you and Jesse link up as like allies? Because you obviously worked closely with him. Was that immediate?
Yeah, so pretty much was. We had formed a little OG gang. We called it Outside Gang.
Right.
And it was myself and Jesse, Angie, and Memphis.
Memphis, yep.
And so we were kind of close. Dan was kind of like in and out, but after the first week and everything that happened with the whole situation with Brian and Jerry and us going into Jerry's HOH, once people started sharing stories about Brian going around making alliances with everybody, and I was like, we he didn't make one with me. How did he make one with everybody else?
I'd be offended.
I was offended. And I was like, now we have a problem, you know, because I knew that I wasn't involved in any of those talks. And as soon as I found out and started adding things up, I think it was me and it was a couple other people that he hadn't. I was like, oh, no. We gotta change this around. So that being said, after that situation where we all went upstairs and kind of strong-armed Jerry to the changing the nom and putting Brian up, after that, it kind of started feeling like, okay, now there's already, the lines were drawn kind of quick in my season.
Yep.
You kind of knew who was with who. And a lot of what was going on, the four of us felt like the outside of that area. We were not in the area where everybody was talking game. We were outside. So that's how that happened. And then from there, everybody kind of stemmed and had their other relationships. And we tried to use that, but unfortunately, it got dwindled down really quickly. A lot of my allies were taken out quick. So, you know, but me and Jesse pretty much stayed strong through, you know, through the beginning. I was not very happy about a lot of the situations he was getting into. It was really throwing a target on him. And if it threw a target on him, it threw a target on the rest of the OG gang. And so I was trying to also get into relationships. I was in relationships pretty much with a lot of people in the house, but like, you know, building on that for game purposes. So.
Yeah, because Jesse, wasn't the Jesse Rennie fight about like, wasn't that like the first night or the first second night? It was so early.
Yeah.
When people were fighting.
Yep, it was pretty much right away. So yeah, he got underneath Rennie's skin. There was sleeping fights. There was food fights, and when I mean food fights, not like us throwing food at each other.
Right,
he was eating all the food, like all the protein. Like he's like, I need my protein intake, and I'm gonna eat all the food. And we're like, you can't have three pieces of chicken when there's only like enough for one for everybody.
Yep.
So, yeah, he was definitely ruffling feathers. I don't think it was really that big of a deal to him. I mean, he was fighting hard for that chicken. He was fighting hard. He's like, I need my protein. If you got a problem, I don't care. And we were like, oh, God. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, you got to rein him in.
I'm like, if anybody wants my chicken, you can have my chicken. I will forfeit my chicken.
Yeah, I want to talk about Jesse's. Like, we're going to jump around a little bit, but one of the things I want to talk about is Jesse's eviction because the funny part was everyone was, you know, you obviously were very upset, but it came down to this America's Player thing that no one was really aware of and that Dan was sort of having to vote. He was the swing vote, and of course, that was America's vote. And so Jesse ends up going home there. How, like, it seemed like you took that very personal. Like, who were you feeling most betrayed by in that moment?
Well, when it came to the America's Player situation, I had already been saying in the house that Dan was America's Player. I knew by some of the things he was doing, the hugging Jesse for 10 seconds.
And that was hilarious.
I was clocking it. And they were telling me I was crazy. So I just like to throw that out there. If you go to the finale and they start showing Dan doing his America's Player thing, every single thing I told the, you know, I asked the house or I asked, you know, the diary room, do I have to accuse him of being America's Player? Do I have to tell him he's America's Player? If I tell you everything he did, do I get his money that he's making? Like,
oh, wow.
And, yeah, they were like, oh, you need to look in the you know, the manual, the Big Brother manual, and you need to, like, you know, it's, you know, you're acting crazy. And I'm like, really? Because at the end of the day, I wasn't crazy.
And you're that's a fan. Why you knew.
Yeah. And that's why at the end of the finale, when they started showing what Dan was doing, they put the camera right on me. And I was like, hello. Yeah. And I said it to Julie when I got kicked out, when I was evicted. I was like, that's Dan is America's Play. What are we doing here? So,
yeah,
you know, so I was clocking that situation, but I'll tell you one thing. Being in that house is like you have to be like messed up in the brain, period. End of story. I don't care how messed up you are in the brain, little messed up, big messed up. You got to be a little, and that's fine. I think everybody is a little, there ain't no normal people out there. And if you're normal, that's scary. But I had let at some points of the game, my emotions come out. I am.
Yeah, that's okay. Fiery,
and I am with Portuguese descent. So I have a little bit of some, you know, fiery blood in me, and I'm East Coast, baby. We don't hold back. We are just like we, and then we think and go, oh shoot, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But there was a lot to it than that. I had figured out that I felt like Jesse was going to be going. I had been studying hard. There was a lot of things that were going on that day. I was listening to all the voice messages that were playing overnight. Yep. I was remembering all that. I had gotten in with Rennie because Rennie said, what the heck are you doing? What are you staying up for? That's so dumb. And she had like her earplugs in so she couldn't hear. And I'm like, Rennie, you have to take them out. Like, this is part of like the,
she's like, the, I don't know.
Yeah. It was like the part of the next HOH or whatever. And she was like, so there was like that going on. And I knew I could feel like something was going on with Memphis because obviously it was Memphis versus, you know, against Jesse in the final seats in regards to that eviction. So I had to pick between one or the other. So, you know, I feel like Memphis knew that I was going to go with Jesse. And so he made his move, which bravo to him. And so there was just so much going on that day that, and then I was in my unitard.
Which you looked amazing, by the way. Do you still own that?
I do.
It should be in a freaking museum, that thing.
I do. Oh, you know, sometimes when I'm vacuuming, I'm like, today seems like a good day to vacuum with the unitad.
Was it uncomfortable, by the way?
I kind of loved it.
Listen, you looked hot. I mean, it looked great.
Thank you. I was like an extra small, which I wasn't an extra small. Like, I'm pretty like long legs, tall.
Yeah, so you are tall. Like, yeah.
I needed something a little bit longer because it was like it had the feeties too. So it was like a full bodysuit and it was like a million degrees. Like my skin, every time I would switch out my unitard because I was like, listen, I need a clean one. And when I have the dirty one, I need to wash it. And so when I would take it off, my skin was like peeling off because of like being hot and the friction and just doing all the things that you have to do in it. But I made the best of it. I dolled it up and dressed it up. But now when I wear it, if I feeling nostalgic and let's just say it doesn't fit the same. I'm like,
that's fair, Michelle. I get it.
I'm like 18 years later, girl, this stuff going on. So
listen, those things are unforgiving too. That thing was tight. Listen, you, like I said, you rocked it. I just, so many moments that are memorable, you're in that unitard. And so, you know, it's a classic Big Brother thing. I feel like it's iconic.
And mine was plain. I didn't have like a little like tutu or that it was like jazzed up. I made my own jazzing it
you
up.
You put like your mic pack around it, right?
I did. I did off the shoulders. I did both off the shoulders. I did a theme like every day. I had like one day I was like the American flag. I was like really like into like, you know, being American. And then I was a Hulkamaniac and I had like the yellow bandana, you know, Hulk Hogan wore red. So day of the live eviction, I put on April's really sparkly high heels on with it and threw some accessories on it. So I really made the best of it. But yeah, there was a few, you know, not so good times, but
I mean, it's iconic. I'm actually wondering if that is a punishment that they're going to bring back this season, because they're talking about this time jump and like classic punishments. I'm like, all right, is someone going to get a unitard? Because it's been a minute, right?
Yeah. I mean, they have to. You can't time travel and not have a costume. And the most iconic one would be the unitard.
Yes, I agree.
We've seen some crazy stuff recently, you know, so let's see if they go back to the simple unitard. You know, it's funny. I love Big Brother so much. I do. I tell everybody, you got to watch. If they never watched it before, I'm like, what? You never watched it before? And then I like will tell people to watch it. And then they'll call me and be like, why is there a dinosaur chasing somebody into a volcano? And then they've melted into a skeleton. And I'm like, just pretend like that didn't happen, even though just remember the Rachel's iconic part. And I said, and I can't explain it. I just go back. I told them, go back and watch like season 10 and then try to work your way up. And then, you know.
Yeah, it's true though. Your season, I still recommend your season, even though like, okay, it's not in HD. Maybe it's a little blurrier than some people want. But like in terms of just classic Big Brother, you guys really got back to like basics after a few seasons of like some casting twists and stuff. And it's just, there's so much good in Big Brother 10 and it holds up. In my opinion, it still holds up pretty well, especially compared to some other seasons. And I want to talk about, so you ended up winning HOH like right after Jesse was evicted, right?
I
so
won that was, HOH in the unitard right after Jesse was evicted. So there's like, yeah, like your whole brain and body and nervous system and heart pumping and everything was just like times a million. So the adrenaline was flowing and I knew every answer to the questions because I studied them I knew it. So it was just honestly like one of those like full circle moments that was epic because Jesse gets evicted and there it is. I'm in my unitard and I'm like, okay, my back's against the wall. I got nobody but myself.
Yep.
So
you won when you had to.
You had to. I had to. Yeah. But yeah, this is for you, Jesse. It will be always iconic too.
Always. always. It
People
was so
say
good.
That to me all the time. This is for you, Jesse. Oh my God. Me and Jesse are still very close. So
oh good. Okay.
Yeah, we bring it up here and there, but I support him and everything he's done. He's I have to say probably the most popular in regards to coming back and just being part of the season or not being part of the season, being like a Pandora's box or just coming back, just being a, you know, the monkey or whatever he was. Like he's just come
Santa
back
Claus
so many
or
times.
Whatever.
Yeah. He's come back so many times that obviously he had something special and they wanted him back. So it's been great to watch him. And then also just stuff he's done with the wrestling career, his soap opera career. He just did House of Villains 2 seasons ago.
Yep.
And he was on there with Richard Hatch. When I saw that he was on there with Richard Hatch, I'm very, very close friends with Richard Hatch. So I immediately like texted Jesse, like, I really hope you guys work together. And then I texted Richard. I'm like, I really hope you guys work together. And like, they were like, yeah. And yeah. And I was like, oh shoot. I was like, uh-oh. And then after a couple of episodes in, I'm like, yeah, no, Michelle, they didn't work together. Yeah.
But yeah, one of the things obviously that you must get, you know, people bring up to you too is of course Keisha's birthday. That talk to me about that day. What do you remember? Who do you feel like instigated it?
So I didn't know what was going on. I wasn't in the upstairs HOH and I was not in the bedrooms. I was actually in the kitchen with Rennie. I was helping her make the cookie cake, but I wasn't like actually like helping her. I was there like as a motivation because Rennie, she's the, you know, she was
she's got it.
Yeah, she's got it. I'm just going to be here to support. And to, you know, me and Rennie did get into our little situationships, but we were always cool. We still are to this day.
Yeah. How's she doing?
Girl. She's Rennie.
Okay.
She's awesome.
Okay. Good.
She's awesome. I got to spend some time with her a couple of years back. She would come up to my Toys for Tots event. Yeah, she's that. Awesome. I love Rennie. I do. I love her. And so when the whole thing went down, I knew something was happening, but I wasn't sure. I could hear the girls fighting upstairs, April, Keisha, and Libra.
And the HOH, yep.
Yeah, they were fighting. Then there was some storming of people coming down the stairs and very upset. And Keisha looked at me and said, I never liked her to begin with. And so I was just like, well, I'm just going to sit back over here and I'm going to get my imaginary popcorn. And, you know, because I was like, all right, that's it has nothing to do with me. And I was like, all right. So then all of a sudden I find out that there's a fight going on in the bedroom. And I'm like, all right, what's going on there? I think something happened where Jesse went upstairs, came down, but there was never really a conversation. I just thought that, you know, that's what people do. They go walk up to the HOH, they talk, they come back down, but I didn't know what the conversation was. And I saw Jesse go back to his bedroom. And then I see April come down, and then April goes into the room, and then you hear yelling. And I'm like, oh no, no. Like, please, Jesse, don't be a part of this. Because at that point in time, like, there was like one side of the house fighting with each other. So I was like, all right, they can take each other out. And then once I found out Jesse got involved, I said, shit. So then, you know, they were like, they're coming out and asking me like, oh, what's going on? But so I said, I have no idea. Me and Rennie have been here. We have no idea what's going on. Memphis and Dan were in the couches laughing away.
Laughing, yeah.
Laughing away. And then all hell broke loose. Oof, it was unbelievable. Like, still, like, thinking about it, like, looking back, I'm like, holy shit, I was part of literally the best birthday ever and the only time where we're allowed to sing happy birthday. Like, they actually paid for the rights to sing the words happy birthday because you're not allowed to.
You're right. They were like, we can't cut this out of the show. I guess we're paying a lot of money. You're right. I don't know if they would do that today, but
I think, you know what? You got to leave that as the best birthday ever.
Yeah.
You know,
you can't really top that. It was so, was it as awkward at the end? Like when people were, was it awkward in the kitchen?
Very awkward. Like the fact that we all collectively, without saying anything, just sang it like we were at a funeral. Like everybody was just like, like, and with all our personalities and with all like everybody having a different level of this and that, not one person had came out of the tone of just like, it was so awkward, but it was so cool.
I mean, you're part of Big Brother history in many ways, but Keisha's birthday just sticks out, obviously. Did you watch Keisha? You're a fan. Did you watch her come back for All Stars?
Yes. I was like, first off, it's about time that, you know, obviously there was representation of Big Brother 10 in a couple seasons earlier, but we hadn't had much representation. Like, we were kind of like, what is, like, there's definitely so many amazing people.
Your whole cast.
Yeah, everybody was so epic in itself and so deserving to go back and play the game again. So I was a little surprised that it took that long for there to be that type of visibility of Big Brother 10.
And yeah, I agree.
I get shocked still to this day as to why haven't they just redone Big Brother 10? Jerry is still here, people. Let's try to get it quick before, you know, he's 94.
Is he 94? Wow.
He looks amazing.
This is what I've heard. Good for him.
He's still like, he's more, I think he's in better shape than he was on our season.
Wow. When's the last time you saw him?
I saw a picture. I haven't talked to him. I saw Dan had posted something that he had just talked to Jerry for his birthday. This was probably less than a year ago.
Yeah.
And Dan had put up a picture of them like FaceTiming and Jerry was like, and I was like, whoa, Jerry looks better than he did on season 10, 18 years ago.
Yep. Looks great.
I think if Big Brother never does a Big Brother 10 reunion, they're missing out because I know a lot of people would love to come back and just see what would happen. But the season that Keisha and Memphis came back on was during COVID, right?
I forgot Memphis was there. You're right. Shit. Yes.
So, woo. So that season obviously was different because of COVID.
Yep.
And so there was rumblings amongst the
Oh, I
people of the
remember.
world
Yep.
of who was coming, who was going to be a part of it. And I did not hear their names, though I did hear rumblings of Memphis. And then I believe there was two people that got COVID
COVID, yep.
and they weren't allowed to play, and so they were the alternates. That being said, I had heard there was rumblings of if what if scenarios, what if this alternate got into the house, they should do this. But with Keisha, I was heard rumblings that she was not as aware that she was going to be in the house. It was like she was like a last minute thing.
Okay.
So she wasn't able to, from what I know, from what I heard, this is just what I heard, this is not facts, that she wasn't actually, I think it was like a week or something before.
I also heard that. Again, we can't verify for sure, but like that, I
We
think
can't
we heard the
verify.
same things. And
But that being said, I from what I've heard, that Keisha didn't have that luxury of having, and to find out who was going in the house. She actually wasn't able to do any of that, from what
right.
I've heard. So she was going in there clean slate, hands clean. And I was very disappointed in Memphis for not
Okay.
protecting and keeping and helping your fellow Big Brother 10. I feel like he should have done more because Keisha did not deserve to go first.
Yeah, it was a bummer. I think everyone was super excited to see Keisha in there for anyone from Big Brother. I think everyone was like, "Oh my God, they pulled a Big Brother 10 person." And I remember it being such like a fun thing. And then yeah, her going out first was kind of like wah wah, which again, yes, we can blame her to some extent, but you're not wrong. She was, as far as I know, pretty last minute. So it's like I don't know how much she also was keeping up with the show or like who else was on. So she yeah, she kind of went in there a little down versus everyone else who was pre-gaming.
Yeah, I mean, obviously in my season we didn't end up playing at the same side.
Yep.
So I was super excited to see her back. I was really rooting for her, and I knew she was going to do great. But unfortunately, I think she just didn't have the opportunity to.
Yeah.
So I was really, really bummed out that she was taken out first. I wanted to see more. And I knew she wanted to be in there more. So I still feel like there needs to be more Big Brother 10 representation. It's one of the best seasons, if not the best season. And I just feel like there's just so many people, including myself,
Yeah, I was going to say,
that
Michelle, have you ever gotten a call ever to come back?
so I wouldn't say hey, you want to come back? It was more like, so what, you got any plans this
What is your availability?
summer? You're going on a trip. Is anybody getting married? Are you having a baby? So there's, I believe that a lot of people get those calls. And then there was the Big Brother 20 call of being part of the live audience because it's been on for 20 years. And so I just expect the unexpected. Could they possibly just say, all right, we're going to have these people in the audience that are previous Big Brother people go in the house?
I didn't think about that. Yeah, so you were in the audience for that show,
I
the
was.
premiere.
I was right there, right in the middle, facing Julie Chen, and it was Jesse and Keisha. And we were the
Oh.
representation of Big Brother 10. And I was like, this right here feels all starish. This feels like,
Man.
and I was looking to my left, I was looking to my right, I was looking at the rows behind me, and I was like, this right here is some all-star material. Like, I would have picked anybody in there to be in All Stars, or a returnee, or whatever the theme would have been. So I had asked, should I pack
Pack.
like certain stuff? And they were like, do we got whatever you need to do. And I was coming from Canada. It was my friend's birthday. We went to Canada. So I left in the middle of like our Canada trip and left from Canada to go to LA. So I was like, I hope whatever I have in my bag is going to work.
I'm just happy. I'm glad that they're still inviting you guys, because I guess it still means that you're on their radar. It's just annoying. Yeah, it takes forever. I mean, this obviously we'll talk about this season a little bit, but 30's coming up, Michelle. You never know. Would you consider it? Are you like a definite yes, I would do it, or you would think about it?
I have a lot of unfinished business.
You do.
I need to handle. So I would love to go back, because like I obviously left everything out on the table. I mean, up, down, all around, crying, happy, tears, and good game moves, bad game moves, screaming, yelling, too quiet, not quiet. You know, so I went through all of it. Mm-hmm. And now I'm older, more wiser, more mature, you know, and I would play it a different way. So I have done some, I'm not sure if you're familiar with like the live reality games, the LRGs.
Orgs. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's org community, there's the LRG communities. And shout out to the Big Mini, and shout out to Glitch. So I have done both of those within the past year.
Okay.
I did one last year. It was like the first type of game scenario, very, very similar to like a Big Brother, a Survivor, Amazing Race, everything kind of into one. I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll come play some games with some people I don't know. And like in a house, I literally thought it was just going to be like, all right, just like we're getting together like a backyard picnic and we're going to play like cornhole and, you know, kumbaya.
Yeah.
Well, it was in a house in Orlando. They took our phones, locked our phones up, and we played Big Brother. We played Survivor. We played Amazing Race. We played House of We played these games, and it was hardcore.
Was it? Yes. Did you feel like you were back in it? Were you like, oh shit, what's this feeling like?
Yeah, I was not right when I left there. I was not right for a week.
Wow.
And I played my heart out. I was strategic. I was winning comps. I was winning all this stuff. And going in there as like the only reality person, and I was playing with a lot of people in the LRG community, which they play these games all the time.
All the time. Yep. Yep.
Everywhere. So they all like knew each other. So I was like the odd man out. Did not think that I would be able to get to how far I made it. I was the last woman standing, and then there was six boys, which is such a familiar thing to me.
Oh,
the boys
geez.
Always want to take me out.
Yeah.
So what? Excuse me. They took me out. It chokes me up every time. But I'm like, what's up with these boys scared of me? Like,
listen,
I'm 45 now and I have a fake knee. Like, why are you scared of me?
Yeah, but you have a brain of your own, Michelle. This is the problem. Men don't like that.
Right. And I just like recently played one in May, which was the same concept. We were in a house, and the average player, so there was like 21 of us, I think. And out of all 21 people, there was ranging from, you know, young 18 all the way up to like 50s, 60s, I think. I had the best overall average ranking of every game that we played. I was number one. I couldn't even believe that I was the best, I guess, overall percentage player. And I made it to final three with two boys. And they took me out.
They took you out. Damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean,
I'm like, you know what?
You got it in you.
A little taste. It was a little appetizer. I was like, ooh, like it puts your mind at a different place. You know, like I took the emotional part out of it, and I just played strategic and tried not to get upset or sad or cry. I just cried when I said my goodbye speeches. But it was such an amazing experience just to see like what you can do. And, you know, just because you're 18 years older than when you did it before, doesn't mean you lose it. You
right.
either got it, you know, or you don't. And it like lit a fire in me.
Okay. Michelle, I'm happy to hear this.
Yeah, somebody to play Big Brother. Like, what's up?
Is Big Brother the only show that you would consider? Would you consider other shows?
I would love to do Survivor.
Really?
Yeah, I would do Survivor. I'm the only thing that I'm not a big fan of, which I don't think anybody's a really big fan of, is like bugs crawling.
You know, I know.
I'd love to try it. The competitions are really, really awesome. So I would love to try to do some of those comps, which, like I said, in some of the games that I played, they made comps very similar to some of Survivor and some of the Big Brother and all that. So, but I would love to do that. I would love to, I just like to play games and anything strategic. And I just would like to do anything like that. I'm okay. All about it. Yeah, I'm all okay. About it.
So traders is you'd be open to as well?
Yes. Okay. I would love to do traders. I think traders is awesome game. Awesome, awesome, awesome. We played something similar in the house that I was in, but they called it Werewolf. Have you ever heard of Werewolf?
Yes, I've played. Yep. Similar.
Yes, I never played that before. So I was very like, oh, this is very traitorish. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that one, it's like you just have to really have a set mind, like focus of if you're going to be lying or if you're, you know, if you're going to be the traitor, then you're going to be the traitor. I just don't know how good my facial expressions would be if I was a traitor.
I feel like you're probably similar to, I wear a lot of my facial, what I'm feeling on my face. I'm very emotional. I'm very expressive. And so I kind of agree. I almost probably would want to be a faithful and then just, I don't know. But I did want to ask you what you thought about Dan's traitor game. He had a hard time in there. Silence.
So yeah, it was interesting. It was very interesting to watch it play out. I was wondering, I was like, all right, how's Dan gonna do? Because Dan had been like, you know, he hadn't done anything in a long time.
And
over
a decade.
Yeah, and I know he's very adamant on not wanting to come back unless it was something that he was interested in and on, you know, on his terms and stuff like that. So I knew it had been a while, and I knew that this was a different game than Big Brother. This wasn't Big Brother. You're not going to have America's Player. You're not going to have the assistance of, you know, them telling you who to vote for or whatever the case is. That being said, watching the previous seasons as well, I've watched The Housewives. I've watched a lot of the other reality shows, and I knew that those housewives would clock him.
I was worried too. I was just like, because Dan's like a very nice guy.
Yeah.
But I think with the housewives, you almost kind of like, you really have to like be in their corner. Cause if you're not, you're against them. Like there's no in between. And I feel like Dan probably played too, like he's playing too cagey with them. It's like, you got to hype these housewives up. Cause they're going to come for you.
I don't know. Cause that was my biggest concern when I found out. I was like, I hope Dan can, or has watched these housewives and understand their dynamics. And, you know, I've watched every housewife, series, including the Housewives of Rhode Island. So I knew that I was like, for some reason I had a feeling, I'm like, Dan probably did not watch Housewives. And you can't go and research Housewives and watch all these housewives. It's just, you can't do that. It's not like as simple as going to watch, you know, a past season of a Survivor and somebody in particular playing their game. So, and I knew that they were going to have multiple housewives. Yep. They usually have that. Yeah, and I also knew that vice versa, Dan's going to have some kind of numbers on his side. He would have some people that he's played with before. But then as the season was going on, obviously it's not like Big Brother. We don't have live feeds. We just can see what they've given us. And Dan seemed very uncomfortable, like his body flow and his conversations and stuff like that. I was like, oh, I don't think he's really feeling comfortable with the housewives.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, just it didn't work, I guess, for him, you know. But it was good to see him on TV. I was excited. I was like, you know, representation of Big Brother. And it seemed like, you know, a couple of different players of Big Brother kind of didn't really get to play the game as much as they wanted to, because they were pretty much like Ian. Like, I wanted to see how Ian was going to play. And we didn't even get to see Ian play at all either.
But yeah, I was going to ask about, because I wondered if Dan did like Traitors, for example, like right after 14, or like a little like after he already played, because he was rusty, right? Like, he hasn't played anything. I'm actually curious what you thought of his season 14 game.
So it was kind of very like I felt almost like I was in that house with him, like reliving Big Brother 10. When he started pulling all the, you know, the Dan funerals and, you know, the well-known Dan mist. Yep. And I was like screaming at the TV, like, don't you see what he's doing, people? Danielle, what are you doing? But yeah. And I was getting over on people. I was like, the mist is still misting. He's still misting.
It's still misting.
I was like, you know what? Good for him. And he makes it to final two.
I know.
And a lot of people say that he should have won, but at the end of the day, you have to have jury management. And the jury is, they remember everything.
Yep.
So if you don't have them right, they're going to, at the end of the day, petty juries are petty juries. That's the way it goes. That's part of the game. I know people are very upset about it, but that's also part of how you're supposed to work your game and your angle to be able to, okay, you've done these things, own it, tell people what it is, instead of like tippy-toeing around things. You know, this is a time for you to, you know, say exactly what's going on. And I think that, you know, a lot of people say petty jury, but is it petty jury or is it that you didn't do jury management properly? So
I agree. It's actually the most fascinating part of the game to me. I really like think that dynamic is so interesting. And that actually goes into what I want to talk about next, which is essentially your eviction week and you going up on the block and this nomination roulette that Dan, you know, you were not thrilled. And that was the first time, well, maybe not the first time, but Dan really came out swinging that week. He was like, he lied to Ollie. You end up going on the block. Were you more mad that you were on the block or more mad at like the performance of this, like, okay, roulette, nominee roulette, not replacement nominee roulette. That's what it was called.
Yeah. I knew it. I had already been having some sort of like intuition feelings, and you know, I knew that they were more scared of the girls than they were of the boys, I guess, because I mean, they were thinking that they were bringing Jerry along because, you know, he was older and maybe couldn't do stuff. So I knew like, you know, I was in trouble.
Yeah, your number was up soon. Yeah, you knew.
Yeah, and I knew that, Ollie had, you know, pretty much April was gone at that time, Libra is gone at that time. So the next closest thing for Ollie was me, and that they knew that Ollie had thrown my name out, that I was the closest to Ollie. They probably weighed options. Okay, I think it's easier for us to work moving forward, you know, having Ollie in the house and having Michelle in the house. I tried to convince Rennie and Keisha that the boys were not going to take them. I know that we were playing on the same side, but I said, you know, just as you weigh your options, weigh it to put yourself further in the game, because those two boys, they're going to ride together. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's try to break it up and then we can play against each other and fair and square. But I think it was a little bit too late of a...
Yeah, Keisha was also riding with them pretty hard. Like, it was tough at the end.
Rennie, I think, definitely was willing to do that, willing to make that move, because there's a totem pole, right? Mm-hmm. Rennie knew she was in the bottom, but Keisha didn't know she was.
Yeah, she was, I feel Rennie. Like, locked in with sort of Dan and Memphis, which was it ever obvious that those two were working together, or looking back, were you like, oh yeah, I missed some things, or like, what was it about those two?
For me, I was, as soon as Jesse got voted out, I said, okay, so Dan and Memphis had been working together, because Dan was trying to come in and out and in and out of the our alliance and kind of going to that alliance and coming there. So I would always be clocking it, and I was clocking it to my alliance and clocking it to somebody who was working with him as well. So it was probably going back as Michelle's clocking. So be aware of that scenario. I had a feeling. And then as soon as he started doing that Russian roulette, whatever, veto, I knew it. I was ready to go sit in that seat. I was livid. I was
I'm
livid because
sure.
I knew that, I didn't have any other way unless there was some sort of power, some special thing that came into the house that would save me. So I tried. I did everything I could, but unfortunately, double eviction. I go first, Ollie follows.
Yep. That's I wanted to ask about that. So, when you get to the jury house, I'm assuming that jury house is pretty wild, but yeah, how was that jury house when you got there? Was everyone pretty heated?
Whew. So I got there first, obviously, because
Yep.
I was the first one out of the double eviction. So when I walked in, it was like, Lieber was like, there you go.
I'm
And I was like,
sure.
yeah. And April was not happy, because me and her had gotten really close, in the house, in the middle, kind of after Jesse left. And so she was really bummed out about it. And then a half hour later, Ollie comes walking in, and I knew. I was like, shoot. So, and then after that, Rennie came. She was the next one in the house. So I knew that there we go. I said, see, this is what I was talking about. This is
Yep.
what I was talking about. Then Keisha came. And so we kind of already knew the status of that. But I will say this, that if Dan and Memphis didn't take each other and one took Jerry, Jerry was gonna win.
Yeah, I was gonna say, was that jury so? Well, that's what I want to ask. Like, when you guys were in there, was it clear that Dan was gonna get the votes? What was it more anti-Memphis votes than pro-Dan? Like, what was the feeling in there? And obviously, Dan takes you on this trip, which you tell me if that helped or at all, but I did think it was smart because I was like, you were the one I feel like he really kind of effed over. So talk to me about that, I guess.
Okay, well, I love this question because I never understood the question until 5 years later, after I got off the show, that I actually watched my season. So I didn't see what they had put on the episode of what happened at Catalina Islands. So I can say this. They were very adamant that we not talk game when we got to the jury house. And we were like, you,
Yeah,
we're gonna talk.
we've done enough for you people. We're gonna talk.
We're gonna talk. So, like, they would be coming into our rooms, like, what are you guys talking about? I'm like, what do you think we're talking about? They were like, no, you guys can't be talking about that. And so we were like adamant that we were gonna talk about it. So for me, it had nothing to do with Dan. Memphis was my alliance. Memphis betrayed our alliance. And so that was where I was coming from. Now, other people in there had a lot of different reasonings. No one ever said we're all voting for Memphis to win. We were all hoping Jerry was at the finals. That's what we were talking about. Jerry, please, please, please. So when he came walking in, we were really upset about it. The Catalina Islands. Okay. So I get whisked away out of the house, first time I believe ever in jury.
I think so. Maybe
Yeah,
not. I
except
forget.
for I know previous people escaped the jury house, but that wasn't part of the
That's true.
show. So, they're blindfolding me and asking me, like, who do you think it's gonna be? And I was like, I would love for it to be Jerry, but I know it's gonna be Dan. And I remember, like, one of the producers, like, we were in the helicopter and we land and there's another helicopter, so I can't see who it is. And they were just like, who do you think it is? Like, go down the list. And I was like, well, Jerry, I would really hope Memphis. No, he wouldn't bring me. I said he would bring maybe Keisha. And then they were like, what about Dan? And I was like, Dan. And they were like, yeah, do you think, you know, that it's, you know, it could be Dan. And I was like, well, I don't know. They're like, well, the last thing you said to Julie Chen was the next time you see Dan, you're going to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't really mean I was going to punch him in the face, but that's what I was feeling at that moment. And so they were like, yeah. And I was like, oh, well, yeah, I'm not going to punch him in the face, but I really don't know what I'm going to do. So they were like, all right, well, go find out who it is. So there I am coming out of the helicopter, and I come around and I hear Dan go, this isn't Rhode Island, but it's paradise. And I was like,
that's such a Dan thing to say.
You could see probably steam coming from my ears, my head. Like, I was like, oh boy, here we go. So I was very cordial. There was no fist flying at that point. So we go down to the beach and there's a little table. And he's like, let's have some like dinner, like some wine. We know you love wine. Let's have some wine, 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 wine. So we sit at the table and he's pouring the wine and, you know, he's talking to me. And so we're just, you know, laughing. And then all of a sudden we get attacked by a swarm of bees.
Oh.
So we get attacked by a swarm of bees. So now we're running and like, you know, trying to get the bees off of us. And they're like, you guys got to go to the water because we have to fix this scenario. So I had a glass of wine. Didn't really have that much conversation. There was a little bit here and there, but it wasn't anything because obviously we were being attacked by bees. So there's like a kayak and an oar. They're like, why don't you guys go on the kayak? And this is where things got a little weird.
Okay.
I was just kind of like, Dan, how about you go on that kayak with no oar? And I was trying to like push him out to sea. Oh, like, can you paddle back? Like, because I got the oar.
Yeah, you're like, you brought me here, but I'm still not cool with you.
I'm like, cast away.
Literally, yeah.
So yeah, it was not like a very kumbaya, you know, scenario. He did say if like he made it to the finals, would I vote for him? And I said, absolutely not. So I said, did you bring me here because you think that I have control of what people are going to vote, you know, in the House? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he admitted. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I feel like you are the one that they'll listen to, you know? And so I was like, listen to what? I'm probably not, you shouldn't have brought me, you know? And I still, in my brain, is going, one of them is going to bring Jerry. So I was very like, nope, not voting for you. Nope, not voting for you. So when I ever, 5 years later, with questions like you just asked me and what other people have said to me, like, oh, Dan swayed you. You put a little wine in your, and I was like, swayed what? Like, No, there was no swaying. So it's kind of funny that that's what the impression is. And I can totally see it because by the edit, I was like, oh, this is,
yeah,
this makes sense now. Yeah.
So then, you know, fine. You're like, whatever, this didn't work on me. Jerry's going to be in the end anyway. But when Memphis and Dan are both there, are you guys pissed? Are you guys like, oh, now it's just lesser of two evils at this point?
So it's funny. So I come back from Catalina Islands and I go and I talk to April and Ollie right away and I tell them what happened. And they're like, oh my God. So like, what are you going to tell the rest of the House? I'm like, wouldn't it be fun if I told the House that we're going to vote for Memphis to win the game? Like, let's just throw that out there and see what happens. Like, I'm bored.
Oh,
I'm bored. And I knew that Keisha and Rennie, not quite Libra because she had already been in the House and I think she was kind of like over that whole scenario, but they were very livid and I think they were more pissed off at Memphis. And so I just was like, I don't know, what do you guys think? And they were like, oh my God, that's perfect, let's do it. So I remember standing on the balcony with Keisha and Rennie and I think Keisha came in after, but I think it was mainly Rennie. And I was like, yeah, so I think it's best if we vote for Memphis to win. And when I tell you, all hell broke loose. It was complete mayhem. Alcohol taken away. Separate rooms. There was freaking yelling, screaming. Blah, blah. I didn't think it was going to get like that.
You just dropped a bomb and walked away.
And I was like, literally like still in my brain, like, haha, we're going to all vote for Jerry. And this is going to be like, you know, this is going to be funny banter. Like after this is all said and done, I did not think it was going to go down like that. And let me tell you, once it went down, I was like, well, I can't go back and tell them I was just kidding. Yeah. So we got the alcohol taken away for a day.
Oh, wow. That was fun. See, this is why we need you in the Big Brother house. If you get bored, just drop some bombs and just walk away.
I literally did not see like it going that way.
Oh, my God.
But I also should have. I mean, I did read the room. I just wanted to have a little bit more fun. It was boring in there. Like, I'm stuck in a house. I should have been the in the brother house. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just.
Oh, my God.
You know, me and Rennie talk about it sometimes. And I'll be like, Rennie, I just didn't think it was going to go that way. She's like, Michelle, that was unnecessary. I was like,
it's inappropriate.
It's inappropriate. I was like, I just wanted to have a little fun. I didn't think you guys were going to flip out like that. Holy cow. Needless to say, we got our alcohol back. And then, you know, I think that day or that next day, somebody came in. So thank God.
Okay. Yeah. So when going into the finale, do you think, because Dan wins unanimously, was it locked in? Did the finale help at all? Did it sway you? Like, where was your head at?
You know, it was like the lesser of two evils. Like, I didn't know which one, you know, but I was still very adamant about, like, I feel like Memphis betrayed me more than anything. Cause I helped him out a lot in that house.
You did
a lot. I mean, he shouldn't have even been there. So I felt like, you know, he owed me a little something more than what he gave me at the end. And
yeah, his final performance wasn't like, yeah, it could have been better.
Yeah. And I thought also like between Dan and Memphis, like if Memphis had just literally said everything that he did and literally was like trying to explain to all of us like how he got to that point, he was still very secretive, very like cards against his chest, didn't want to like, he didn't own it. And it was almost like he was like giving it to Dan. And I was like, well, you could have maybe swayed me, because I didn't want to vote Dan. And he didn't even move my button a little bit. It was that moment that you're supposed to literally all the good, bad, and uglies. And there was a lot of uglies, and just say that. And I think a lot of people in the house all kind of were looking at each other like, is he really not going to say what happened? We've all compared notes. We all know what happened. So it was like a drop of the ball, I would say, on his end.
Did you know it was going to be unanimous? Was it like clear that that was going to be the case, or you didn't know?
As Memphis was answering the questions and giving his speech, the more and more he spoke, the more and more I said to myself, like in my head, I was going through, I just didn't know really where Jerry's head was going through, because he had gotten there that day. And then that next day, like he didn't even stay at the jury house. We already went right into back to sequester. And then we went, you know, back into the finale. He was the only one I wasn't really sure about. I was like, I don't really know how that ended in regards to him leaving, like who said what to him. But I was surprised that it was unanimous, but after everything that was said and done, then it wasn't shocking once all the questions and the speeches were done.
Okay. Yeah. I have to ask, because it's so funny. You lived it, right? So you have your own sort of perspective on it. I just saw it as a viewer, and you know, I think Dan played a great game, but and he's you know, revered as this like mastermind, one of the best. Most people, or a lot of people, say the best to play. Not everyone, of course. What do you think about that? Because that's your season, right? That was the season that people refer to. Oh my God, Dan played such a good game. Is that how you see it, or are you like, I'm always going to be seeing it from my perspective, which might be different from what other people think?
The only thing I can say about that is I feel as though, yes, if you're from the outside in, you're looking at it and you're like, yeah, he played one of the best games. But I, looking from the inside out, said I helped him, Dan, also a lot. And so I feel like I was part of that, and I don't get enough accolades for it, you know, because you can't play a game like that without having to kind of ride the roller coaster of powers and different, you know, America's player, and this one having the power, this one having the veto and being able to manipulate someone using it. So I feel like I was part of that entanglement. Right.
Okay.
So you can't be the best player of the game unless you also have other pieces of the puzzle in other people's gameplay and how to maneuver that. So he maneuvered when he was supposed to maneuver. He went left when he was supposed to. He went right when he was supposed to. He stayed in the middle. He hid underneath his bed and his pillow. And, you know, he did the whole cross thing. He did what he was supposed to do. And his timing was always impeccable. So
yeah,
and both sides of it.
Yeah. And a lot of these games do have like luck, like you're saying, like a certain thing goes right for you. And you know, I agree. Maneuver is a good word, right? Like, especially with that season, it was so crazy. It's like maneuvering. Maybe that was the impressive part. But yeah, so when people talk about season 10, is it a positive like thing that you think about? Is there any negativity still, any regrets, or is it a positive thing in your life?
I can't say that I regret, because that would mean that everything that I did, you know, was no good. Obviously there's mistakes made, decisions made, whether I was in control of them or not in control of them, that, you know, could have changed the way the game was or went. And that's all stuff that, you know, right now at this point is out of my hands, that, you know, that would be something that if I were able to go back in that house, I would have to do things a lot differently. You know, it's, you have to separate your emotion from that game. And I believe like our season was everybody was very emotional. Everybody was very type A. It was just so like sweat, blood, and tears, you know? Yeah. Even when there was supposed to be downtime, there wasn't. Do I wish I had done something different? Yeah, but that could have meant that I would have been taken out earlier, or something else could have happened. So it's a lot of like, you know, the only way we can actually resolve a lot of these questions, Sharon, is if, you know, I go back in there and kind of like see what happens, you know?
But yeah, I wanted to, how did you feel about your edit, by the way? What was the reception when you got out of the house? Were you happy? Did you feel like they portrayed you like how you are, or what did you think?
There was a couple of situations that I thought that maybe they didn't portray as others maybe got different edits for. But at the end of the day, it's TV.
Yep.
And if you give them something, you know, they're going to run with it. And I will always be told that my unitard meltdown and my turning of the back to the diary room was epic.
That was so good. I forgot about that. Yes.
And people have tried and have done that in honor of that situation and given the back. And a lot of people have come up to me that have said, you know, I really was like talking shit about how you were acting in there. And then once I went in the house, I wanted to turn my back to the diary room too. Like, yes, you know, when you're in there, it's a different mind level. So, you know, it is what it is. I can't say this. There were things that were, that came out of this mouth and that were put on TV, but it wasn't the flow. Let's just say that.
The full context. Yeah. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
It wasn't the flow of the conversation. There was things that were put, that were last first, first last, last middle, one day, the other day. So, we also have what we all know as the live feeds. So a lot of live feeders would come up to me and, you know, they would have a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with like anything, I mean, back in the day, we didn't really have a lot of social media. We had MySpace,
remember.
Twitter. Yeah. Twitter had just came out. So I think that that would have played a really big role in a lot of, pretty much a lot of seasons that didn't have that type of social media. There's a lot of obviously people that are, you know, keyboard crazy. They can behind a keyboard, And what I learned was, you know, not to listen to the people that were like, they were calling my house, whether it was good or death threats. They were driving by my house or whatever it was. Obviously now it's different. Now you can just talk junk on different streaming platforms and stuff like that. But you have to learn that there's people that like you and there's people that, you know, that don't like you. I was never really one in the middle, I think, for people. It was either they liked me or they hated me. Some didn't like me because I have an accent, which is like so weird.
God.
Yeah, it's just, to me, it's like, East Coast, West, like I never like understood that, because in some aspects people praise that, and yet in other aspects people like use it as a leverage to put you down or to use it against you. So I never understood that type of like hate.
You're direct.
Yeah, but because I say water, you know, I can say water. But that's not how we talk around here. We say water. Okay. That's what we do.
That is what it is.
Yeah. So that type of, you know, situation was very confusing to me. But I can say that you just have to learn, like, to be on a reality show, you have to have very, very thick skin. And you sometimes don't know how thick your skin is until, like, you get pushed. But as many people as, you know, that have things negative to say, you have like the really awesome, amazing people that I've met through the past years that have positive things to say. So that's where you have to just keep your focus on.
Yep.
Forget about the negative. There's always going to be haters. There's always going to be people talking. 9 times out of 10, they're the ones that are running up to you when they first meet you and tell you they love you. That's facts.
Can I get
a picture? Yeah. Can I get a picture? Oh my God, I love you. Yeah. And then I got a lot of people that are like, oh my God, I love you so much more in person. I was like, oh, awesome.
Backhanded, but okay.
Yeah, great. So you just have to learn to forget about the hate. Don't even give it any type of attention. And just focus on the positive and just being true to yourself and know who you are as a person. And everybody has, you know, no one's perfect. Everybody has situations that happen. I tell people, film yourself for 24 hours.
Oh.
And see what happens. Like, you're going to say or do something that's going to irritate or bother somebody.
People probably want to know, who do you still keep in touch with from the cast the most? Who have you not spoken to since the finale, if there's anyone?
So I've spoken to everybody since the finale. Here and there in regards to like seeing them at like the, you know, the after parties and the finale parties and the premiere parties. I do a lot of events where we all commingle. I speak a lot with, you know, Jesse, April, stay in contact. Me and Ollie, we play, actually fantasy football together.
Okay.
Me and Rennie, me and Keisha, she had reached out to me when my niece passed away. So, nice. Yeah. And, so I've talked with Steven. Brian, I had run into Memphis. I had run into, but I don't really speak with him. Angie, we're Facebook friends, but like we stay in contact, like, you know, happy birthday or something like that. But I do have a lot of close ties with a lot of people from other seasons as well.
Oh, I'm sure.
But yeah, I mean, our season, I'm pretty close with a good majority of them.
Okay. I know people are,
I don't dabble with.
Yeah. I was going to say people are probably screaming at me to ask about Libra, 'cause I know you guys had a complicated relationship.
So yeah, we did have a complicated relationship. And then there was a time where, we had run into each other in Vegas, probably a year or so after. And we spoke. Obviously, there was a little bit of some, you know, family words involved on national TV and stuff like that. And yes, I said stuff and she said stuff and nobody's stuff is better than the other stuff. We were saying stuff. That's part of the game. Certain things. And so, you know, I let her know if there was anything that she had seen or heard that hurt her feelings, that I apologize and, you know, respectfully back, there was stuff. We never really ran into each other too much after. There was a couple more parties, but I did recently hear that she had a stroke, which was really scary to hear. And it was right after beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Mickey passed away.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
So when I heard that, I was really like, oh my God, is she okay? Like, you don't ever want to hear anything like that. I don't care what kind of grudges you have.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Stuff like that is so unimportant when it comes to really major things like that. So I just hope that she's doing well. And I know that I've seen pictures of her beautiful family. And I hope that, you know, just everybody's doing great. And the most important thing is that she's on the mend and she's healthy. And that's the most important.
You still watch the show pretty religiously, I think, right? And how did your fandom change after you were on the show? Like, are you a live feeder? Or are you just like casual fan?
I always watch the live feeds. So it's always a live feeder.
Yes.
I can't be glued to my TV. Like this thing is called work, kind of.
We have a life.
Really. It really is a bummer. Like, it really puts a wedge in like a lot of stuff in life, having to work and be an adult. I got to get rid of that thing. I got to win the lottery or something. But I try to watch the feeds when I have some time. I'm always like trying to catch up on, which there's so many amazing social media platforms that can really literally break down stuff for you if you can't be, you know, glued to the TV.
Yep.
So I always try to stay, you know, vigil on that and go to really the best sites that kind of just take out the fluff stuff and really go into it. But I watch the episodes. Obviously we got our first live eviction happening.
Yes. In like an hour.
Yes. And so I've obviously Big Brother will always be a love before I went on it, while I was on it, and after, and when I go back on it again.
Yes, Michelle. Okay.
I would love that. I think that would be great. I also think that I would be underestimated, and I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that because,
yes,
you know, I might not be as fit as I was when I was on that season. I might have a fake knee. I might have maybe had my emotions on my sleeve and stuff like that. So I would be fine walking in there with the same thoughts of what people would probably not give me credit for until, you know, we would see what happens. But
yeah, we'll see
until what happens. Then, we can't really speculate.
But Michelle, thank you so much for taking the time. I kept you way too long. This was so fun. Thank you everyone for listening. As usual, I'll, you know, be talking to former house guests for this little series that I love to do called Memory Wall. And please like and subscribe. And yes, I will be covering Big Brother 28 right here on the exclusive all season long.